Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I am always MG.
And I am always Will, and have we got a great show for you today.
We have a good show, we have a great show, we have a dry show. That's the big takeaway.
We have a more than good, we have a great.
What's greater than great? ice good.
Frosted Flakes?
Can we say that on air? We just did. No, so did you get wet today? Like, it was a rainy, rainy day. All of a sudden, first off, hold on, let me explain for people online that are listening in, like, places that follow rules, like, seasons. Louisiana doesn't follow seasons. Louisiana instead does its own thing. And I think for the past week, it's been pretty decent, you know, more or less decent. It's been nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then today, I mean, how would you describe it? It's like... It forgot it's supposed to be spring, and it was like April showers. Challenge accepted. I got this.
Stormy weirdness. Like, I don't know. I have a weird story, though, because like this morning I walk outside and it's raining, right? And
right.
I'm like, oh, great. It's going to be one of these days again. And I'm like, I'm going to walk from where I park, which is a million miles away from all of my classes, all the way to my classes, and it's going to be, I'm going to be soaking wet by the time. But the thing that was weird, though, is I'm walking and I'm like, raining really hard, but for some reason I'm not getting hit by rain. And it was like...
You found out you were a mutant.
It was weird. Like, I was, like, not getting hit by rain. I was getting hit by rain, but it was, like, not half as much as I should have been getting hit by rain. And so I was like, I don't really understand this, because, like, by the time I got to my class, I should have been soaked.
Did you... But, like, were you wearing, like, something that had 50% reduction in moisture?
Just wearing this right now. Just a t-shirt and some cool clothes, I guess.
Some cool clothes.
Some swag.
We need experience point swag.
Oh, dude.
We should get, like, prize bags and give them away on air.
Yes, and get some, like, flat bill hats. Everyone's like...
We have to leave the tags on them so that if you don't like them, you could return them to us and we'll give you a free refund.
That'd be cool.
So I did this really cool thing over the weekend. I thought it was, I don't know, maybe it's way too hipster geeky instead of like normal internet geeky.
Uh-oh.
I bought a turntable. I bought a turntable from like a thrift shop.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a $25. It's like a Sony HP 510 or something.
MCMG.
MCG.
Something like that.
MCDJMG.
There's like 10 different letter titles I could give you probably.
I didn't realize though, because I mean typically when you buy a turntable, like a brand new one, unless you're going to spend a lot of money, you'll get like one of those cheap Walmart or Target. You know, you can go and you get one, it's like Newmark, and they convert it to USB and you just plug it into your computer. I wanted an authentic, you know, like turntable.
Legit.
This thing's like, I think it was made in 1970.
This thing's like the epitome of legitimateness then?
Yeah. I mean, it's made of wood.
Wow.
And it's got, it's like a dual motored, or it's got a dual motor, not two motors. It's got a branded dual, D-U-A-L, not two. It's got like, I don't know, AM-FM in the front. I know it seems like really kind of a big, like, I'm making it a big deal, but like back in 1970,
that's
come
cool
on.
Though. What are you gonna, what exactly are you planning on?
Makeup and Vanity Set, and I think we have one or two of their songs. We'll try to play them later in the hour. But Makeup and Vanity Set released an album that was called, it was like an 8-bit version of the Protomans' first album. They collaborated and they pretty much made everything 8-bit and they crushed it down. It sounded really cool, but they pressed an LP for that. They have like the MP3s or the waves or the, I guess, FLAC files, you know, the uncompressed FLAC or whatever. They have that out there for you to buy, but...
How much cooler is it to be able to play it on the actual record?
I know, and it's got some really cool designs on the actual record. It's like on one side, it's all purple and lighter purples and blues.
Really?
Of a guy like standing on top of a 8-bit building.
Really?
And then on the other side, it's like the entire city's in flames.
Really?
And so it's purple.
That's
and
so cool.
Yeah, and then, but no, what I tested, like the first time I'd ever played anything on this was the original Act 1 from the Protoman. The Protoman Attorney, and we have a song right after this spot. We have a song from the Protoman. Protoman are about 10 years old now. 10 years ago, the Protoman started. For those that don't know, the Protoman are based out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I believe
Murfreesboro. And they have rock operas regarding Mega Man. And it sounds awesome. So any of the, with the exception of the Queen album and some of the 80s cover songs that they do, they sing, you know, they have two albums that are exclusively Act 1 and Act 2 that sequentially tell the story of Dr. Light And then Act 1 kind of is after Act 2. It's weird. Act 2 is like a prequel.
It's but, like Star Wars almost?
With like yeah, except it's good. 1, 2, and 3 suck, in my opinion, on Star Wars. 7, I'm looking more forward to 7 than
really,
I am.
I thought 1, honestly, was one of the best Star Wars movies.
I liked Liam Neeson. Let's just put it that way. I thought, first off, explaining why Haley Joel Osment has the Force by, what was it, midichlorians?
Something weird,
like
yeah.
some biology. No, it's the Force. It's the Force. Come on. You got 15, his mitochondrion counts over 9,000. Gosh, we gotta, how is, you know, you don't explain the Force. The Force isn't meant to be explained. It's like,
that's the reason it's the Force.
It's like, yeah, it's the Force, you know?
Yeah, otherwise they would call it like the something to do with
explainable Force.
Yeah, the explainable Force.
I mean, there's nothing to, I don't know. Anyway, tangent. Anyway, I played that and it sounded awesome. So I'm working on getting that good up and running. And apparently there's really, you know, whenever you have like a CD player and you're like, oh, my CD player is broken. Typically, you don't go buy a new laser for your CD player or a new drive belt for your CD player because it's a CD player. It's whatever. But for a turntable, like there's actually all these tiny little pieces like the cartridge, the stylus, the needle, the actual motor, the base insert, the speed control.
There's all these million different things you have to buy, basically.
I'm pretty happy, though, because most of it works, and I only paid $25, and there's one exactly like it in a little worse shape on, like, eBay for $380.
Wow.
So and there's, like, bids on it. So it will sell for at least $380.
So you're going to, like, fix it up and then sell it for, like, a dumb amount of money?
I don't know. If I could sell it for that much, I probably would, but and then I just buy a better...
Better
buy
one.
Like a newer one that, because the problem is with like 1970s hardware with equipment, you have to find replacements for the pieces that burn out. So it's not tubed. If it was, I'd have to find a way to get tubes. And like the only people in the world that use tubes, probably North Korea and Russia. So since North Korea and the U.S. or North Korea and the rest of the world aren't really playing nice right now, you know, I'd have to get it from Russia. And I can only imagine how difficult that will be.
Yeah.
Especially given everything with Boston.
Yeah, but say the whole Boston situation.
But apparently they're from Chechnya, those guys. I don't know.
I don't really know where
that is. I'm giving it another week before I really believe anything the news agencies put out, because they're always... It seemed like
the whole like first 2 days afterwards were
just insane.
Like, hey, we found him. We haven't found him. Hey, we found him. We haven't found him. By the way, we didn't find him, but we did.
They were dead
at
the time. Oh, they weren't dead at the time. Oh, they're in space. Oh, no, they're not in space. We meant they're on the moon.
Space.
Wait, no, the moon's in space. Oh, no, the moon's in Boston. Oh, wait.
The moon's in Boston.
Yeah, like
oh, no.
it seems like, and the problem is CNN actually, they did a neat little story about it where they were like, one tweet can be circulated and retweeted. And the social media can just cause complete chaos for the news agencies out there, because like AP, Associated Press, they have their Twitter account hacked, right? And they sent out, whoever hacked it sent out that the White House had been bombed or an explosion at the White House and the president was injured. And there's like a video on that CNN covered where the person, the Associated Press rep in a meeting, she figured out that the Twitter account got hacked. So she was like, she raised her hand. She's like, yeah, so our Twitter account just got hacked or whatever. We want you to know that was not us. We're working to resolve the issue. Sorry about that. And then the guy was like, yep, I just talked to the president. The White House is completely fine. The president is okay. Everything's okay. But they were talking about like that's essentially what happened. Like the news agencies would say like a whisper, the rumor about something, you know, Boston or whatever. They would say something, and then that would just get thrown and extrapolated, and people would retweet it. And people listen to Twitter more than they do the news now, because that's kind of how things work.
I saw stuff posted on Facebook about like random people saying stuff. Like they had a video that was going around that's like Glenn Beck knows the government did this whole thing, and it's like he says he's giving them a couple days. And I watched it, and I was like, wait a second. I was like, Glenn Beck, he hasn't been on television and like, he hasn't do anything anymore.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was still like a personality. I thought he was just an author, like he wrote stuff.
And this is the thing, is I looked at all the comments on YouTube to see if anyone else said that, and no one else was saying that. And I was like, wait a second, why is no one saying Glenn Beck is not on TV anymore?
Because they're sheeple.
Yeah.
They're sheep people.
Yeah.
That's not some crazy they're not bad humans. Biology experiment gone wrong. That's a metaphor.
They're sheep, not humans.
Sheeple. They just get herded around like sheep. Before we get too deep into the show, let's go ahead and throw out, this is The Will of One by the Proto Man. Happy 10th anniversary, guys. They do listen to the show every now and then.
Really?
And and they're doing this big 10th year anniversary or 10 year decade. Decadal a word? A decadal show. Sure. I believe the 26th. Decatation. Something. One decade. Of Proto Man, of rocking and jocking over there in Tennessee. They do it around the world. They played at PAX for like the last 3 years, I think.
Really cool.
And they're playing at PAX Australia.
And they actually listen to our show?
Yeah, they listen to the show every now and then. Ooh, and all the guys are really great. I asked them if they'd come over and be on the show back when it was little old me doing the show. Mm-hmm. And they said that they would try, but again, they don't come Louisiana way very often.
Yeah.
And I think Commander, like the main guy, or one of the guys in the Proto Man, Commander, is from Mississippi. So whenever they come to Mississippi, or whenever they come this way, he typically like goes home, and everyone like goes to New Orleans because they had never been to New Orleans before. And then when they did, like they came back a lot. So
that's cool.
If they come down though, we'll try to get them. They typically go to a couple bars or what's that one bar off of like Toulouse Street? One Eye Jacks maybe.
They go to
One Eye Jacks, and that's where they typically play them and I Fight Dragons. But
so you're saying it's actually possible that we may have the Proto Man on our show eventually?
Oh yeah. They're awesome. They're real good about
Sweet.
That.
So all you listeners have to keep listening. So.
All the listeners, experience points. We're delivering to you. Eventually, we'll deliver it to you. I can't make a promise.
Like, wait, do you hear that knock at the door? Maybe it's the Proto Man.
Maybe
now.
It's them right now. They came in the bus. Anyway, this is The Will of One by the Proto Man, or by Proto Man. They're not the Proto Man.
Yeah.
And there's a few ladies, proto ladies in there.
Really?
Proto women, but anyway. This is The Will of One by Proto Man. This is off of Act One. So please stay tuned. Experience points.
And we are back. I am Will.
I'm MG, and that was The Will of One by Proto Man. I keep saying The Proto Man.
The Proto Man.
It's like I've got some mental thing.
Anyway,
this is Experience Points. We're Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU.
We are.
We were talking. Do y'all remember on Comedy Central? I think it was on Comedy Central, and now it's like on Tech TV or G4, whatever it's called. But Tosh.0?
Yeah.
You remember, like, what was his name?
Do I remember Tosh.0?
Chad Tosh, or what was his name?
Daniel
Tosh.
Are you being serious right now? I think you're trolling over the air.
I don't like, first off, and I said this, I do not like Daniel Tosh.
I don't like him. I don't find his stand-up to be funny, but I'm not going to lie. His show was pretty humorous because he did say some pretty ridiculous comments about the videos, like that seemed like they're almost borderline, should not have been on television.
Seems like, and again, I'm going to completely, turn around on myself in a second because I like people that do this. I like shows that do this.
It's really entertaining.
But I did not like Tosh.0. I didn't like the fact that all he did, and he was on the air. Like, when I feel like when you're watching a YouTube video with someone's opinions about a video, that's different. Like, it's on YouTube. You know, you're not paying a satellite company to bring you this television.
Yeah.
But I feel, and I didn't really find, I don't know, a lot of what he was saying that funny. And, it's just an opinion. That's all it is. Just an opinion. But on the other hand, like Ray William Johnson or Tobias or Tobuscus or whatever
Tobuscus,
his name is.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch their videos and I'm like, wow, I legitimately think that they are funny. Like, I think they are really good. Way better than Daniel Tosh.
Wait, do you think like Ray William Johnson right now, like right nowadays is funny? Or do you think old Ray William Johnson is funny?
Both. They're different.
Because I like old Ray Williams Johnson a lot, but new Ray Williams Johnson.
Yeah, it seems syndicated. Ray William Johnson is he's the guy behind Equals 3, and he's got like a whole team of people now.
Yeah,
I think he's like
the
number
Julian
one.
Smith. He has Julian Smith.
Yeah, he's like the number one YouTube account out there now.
He is. I thought Smosh was.
Maybe.
Smosh.
I know it was like Smosh, Ray William Johnson, Equal 3, and then Freddie W.
Yeah.
They're Node, they are like huge right now, and everyone collaborates. That's the greatest thing
about YouTube. Yeah.
Whenever you see like YouTube Rewind or Rewind YouTube Style, or you see the best of YouTube, you always see like the same 10, 20 people that are really, really on top of their game. Like, that's what they do for a living. They don't have these other jobs, and that's why I feel like I'll never make it. Maybe you'll never make it. Like, it'll always be some auxiliary thing for us.
Yeah.
But Ray William Johnson, Freddie W., Tobuscus, what's that chick? Veronica Belmont's doing something else
now.
And then
Ryan Higa, Niga Higa.
Yep. Yeah. And there's just a ton of people that really collaborate and work together. But I feel for in Equals 3's case, they for people that don't know, please just Google or YouTube Equals 3. It's a really, really cool show about pretty much what Tosh.0 is, actually.
Yeah. Like, literally, I used to watch Roy Williams Johnson or Equals 3, whatever you want to call it, back in the day. And that's also when I used to watch television. I don't really watch television anymore because I don't have cable in my apartment.
Yeah, I haven't had cable for like 3 or 4 years.
I mean, also, you have the internet, so what's the point of television,
that's
right?
That's it.
But I would watch Equals 3, and then I'd watch Tosh.0, and I'm not going to lie, I'd be like, wait a second. Like, this is a new episode of Tosh.0, and this is a really old episode of Equals 3, and then they'd have, like, the same videos on
them.
Like,
I feel like, well,
it seemed like he copied off of Roy Williams Johnson a little bit, honestly.
YouTube, yeah, and that's how I feel. You'll never be able to stay current with two things. If you want something current, don't read books, and don't watch TV. Because, hold on, and I say, unless it's like South Park, something that's created brand new on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
I feel like, unless it's live TV, or unless it's somewhat live TV, mm-hmm. you're never going to get current.
So it's going to be behind.
Same thing with, like, from a computer science background, in my case, unless it's history, for like, this new technology came out, let's learn about it. We'll learn about it 3 years from now when the books are published a year from now.
Yeah.
So you can never, you know, keep current with that. The books are always, by the time you're learning it in school, it's already old.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with TV. By the time you're seeing it on Tosh.0, the video has 3 million more views than it originally had when he reviewed it, and it's already been killed to death by all these other reviewers who have an instant way of throwing it out on YouTube or Vevo or whatever.
He could have easily made his show at the exact same time they did, but then he has his show at whatever scheduled time on television, however many days later.
It's syndicated. They never want to do, or maybe they're doing it now because of this, but they never want to make an entire season show at a time. Every week.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have, it's not like Jersey Shore. God.
Oh, gosh.
It's not like Jersey Shore.
How do you even say that without having like soap put in your mouth just now?
Yeah, you know, it's a you have to, it's a reflex. You just have to kind of deal with,
like,
it.
Your face look like, "Oh gosh, why am I saying this?"
It's like or even I guess American Idol, like that's a show that has to be weekly.
Yeah.
Because every week it's a performance. But for Jersey Shore, it's like a reality TV show. They record it all at once.
You can just
like
do what you want.
Jersey Shore or Pawn Stars or whatever. You know, it's a show that you just watch, and it may tell a story, it may not.
Yeah.
But you can do every day of the week of Jersey Shore, and that, you know, 13 days, half a month, that's a season, you know?
But because it doesn't actually technically, like, revolve around politics and other stuff that's just going around on the internet. You can just do what you want.
Right,
it's like its own world almost, its own universe type
thing. And I feel that it used to be maybe like 2008 era, you know, a couple years back, YouTube was just kind of really starting.
Yeah.
And you didn't have so much content and content awareness. And I feel that now, especially with shows like Tosh.0, he did help usher it in. I'll give it to him, or I'll give it to his team. I'm not saying he didn't create it or he didn't help it along, but again, there's more people behind the scenes working than I think on the front. But Roy William Johnson's, in his case, in Equals 3's case, he is really a geek. He is actually really a nerd. He knows his stuff.
That's because whenever the show started, it was just him by himself, and he would look up all the videos and stuff like that by himself with like maybe a friend or two, but then nowadays it has...
He's got way more production value now, but it's not like it suffered so much. It has a little bit. It's a little hokey and a little corny sometimes.
That's what I was saying. Like, that's what I was saying earlier. It's like, I like it old, like the old version of it better, because it actually seemed like legitimately he would be like, what would I say to this? And he would come up with something that was actually kind of funny, but nowadays it seems like a whole bunch of people are just like, oh, hey, say this.
He's got
like,
writers,
yeah, and it's like, it's kind of funny, but at the same time it's kind of like, it could have been funny. I don't know. Like, I watch it nowadays and I like the old version of it better, but in the end, I mean, regardless, he's still retardedly famous on YouTube. So,
yeah, he's really famous. He's only like 31. Like, he's
really?
Not, yeah, he's not that much older than we are. And
that's cool.
He's made an excellent name for himself. He actually has and again, this is kind of, I guess, what we were working towards. He has a side project. Something I was thinking, like Daniel Tosh. Okay, Daniel Tosh is a comedian.
Yeah,
I would never think that Daniel Tosh is a nerd. He's about as nerdy as like Andy Samberg is. Like Andy Samberg's nerdy.
Literally, that's he's
nerdy in a very trendy and whatever sells type of way.
I'd say he's nerdy if it requires for him to be nerdy to make money.
Right, right. Versus, I think Zach Braff, the guy that played on Scrubs, he played JD on Scrubs. Zach Braff is actually really nerdy.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched Garden State, which I'm not saying Garden State's a nerd movie by any means. I'm saying that Garden State, his portrayal in Scrubs, he's actually that kind of person.
Yeah.
Versus, I think, Daniel Tosh and Andy Samberg. They're just, again, they're like Will Ferrell. They're very much in the moment type of people.
Once again, there's also nothing wrong with Andy Samberg.
There's nothing wrong.
That's it, because I love Andy Samberg. I love Will Ferrell.
I like Andy Samberg, and I may not like Daniel Tosh so much, but that type of person, again, we need actors and we need musicians and we need people like that. But I feel like Ray William Johnson actually really cares and knows about his stuff.
Yeah.
So in you know, I feel like Daniel Tosh, he's a comedian. Mm-hmm. He did this show, not Equals 3, he did this show Tosh.0. Mm-hmm. All right, that doesn't mean that he's a geek. It just means he's a comedian that's in front of a green screen.
And he knows how to make smart comments about stuff.
Right, he's smart alecky about it. Versus like Equals 3, Ray William Johnson, he was a geek before that. Yeah. And his primary project isn't being a comedian on, you know, and then doing a geek comedian show. His primary thing is being a geek, mm-hmm, and doing geek comedy. And his side project apparently is a band that he's abandoned it, or he was working with someone else.
It's kind of like retired for the time being, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, people say it's broken up, and then they're like, oh, it's not broken up. They're working on an album. It'll be out in May or something.
Kind of like Backstreet Boys.
I mean, I thought Backstreet Boys have been broken up.
But I heard
not that I follow Backstreet Boys.
I heard something recently saying that they are actually coming back, and I was like,
they're the back Backstreet Boys,
Backstreet?
The back again Street Boys. I can't even think. I'm sorry.
Horrible buns are horrible.
Anyway, he was part of a band with this other guy called Your Favorite Martian. That's the name of the band, not the name of the other guy. Mm-hmm. Your Favorite Martian. And we actually have two songs we're going to play right now, but I think I hope they come back. I mean, it's very in the style of geeky Eminem, I feel.
Yeah.
Like his voice
is really
stressy. Is. His voice is really stressed and strained.
It's very techno geeky Eminem.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you have a drum synth and garage band and autotune, of course.
Yeah.
So,
but a quick question though. Your Favorite Martian, isn't that a movie from like the 90s?
My Favorite Martian.
My favorite Martian is
a movie.
I was thinking that.
I think that was My Favorite Martian with like Christopher Lloyd or something.
The guy that plays Doc Brown.
Yep,
off of
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, him.
Yep. Yep. So not the same thing, but this is Take Over the World, followed by Club Villain by Your Favorite Martian. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU.
Inexperienced points, I'm Wilp.
I am MG. Enjoy.
Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU and Experience Points. I'm Will.
I'm MG. That was Club Villain and what was the other one? Take Over the World by Your Favorite Martian. I'm sorry, I'm looking at him.
Brain
He's looking at me.
Second.
He's like, what?
Like, what are you saying?
Music. We played music.
But anyways, MG, I've heard you say many things about comics in the past, so I'm guessing you read comics quite a lot.
That is accurate.
That is accurate.
That's mostly accurate, yes.
You are correct. I don't know. I don't know why I said that.
Affirmative.
That just reminded me of that. So, anyways, I remember you saying you wanted to talk about comics a little bit, something along the lines of...
Yeah, so I just wanted to... I kind of wanted to get your... Because, I mean, did you ever do comics as a kid, or were that kind of after... You grew up after the comic boom?
I'm not going to lie. Like, the only comics I've ever really read... You know...
Don't be like, you know those Sunday comics at the end of The Advocate? At the end of the
I mean, I'm not
going to
lie. Every kid, I think, has read those. But the only comics I've... I'm gonna feel like a horrible nerd for saying this, but like, you know, there's a girl that works here named Miranda. She's like does production stuff here and stuff like that. She works on like music and stuff. She's a big comic reader,
uh-huh,
and she's actually let me borrow a Green Lantern book magazine thing before, and I read it. And it has like four different stories of like four different Green Lanterns. Like,
okay, so it's a graphic novel though. It's like
it's a graphic novel, start and end
type of thing.
So
right.
I mean, arguably, I guess you could say I have read comics, but let's lay down
some glossary terms for the kids at home.
Okay.
So a comic is typically something that is it tells a story through panes, comic panes. On each page, you'll have like it's like kablam.
Kablamo.
Oh, okay. I had a Nick. I remember that show on Nick.
Yeah,
kablam.
When you said kablam, I was like, wait a second.
It was kablam.
They didn't have a show. It looked like a cartoon.
So that's very similar. It tells a story, printed out. You know, you've got multiple pages, typically multiple pages, and it's serialized. So you have maybe in a story arc, you'll have 30 comics, but that story arc is just one of several story arcs over the lifetime of a comic. So very common comics: Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, the Fantastic. Well, I guess they're sort of important. Fantastic Four, you know, the Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, There's Marvel and DC. Yeah. There's the Sandman.
You literally go on forever.
Watchmen. Yeah, I mean, comics are big. Before you could easily animate things, mm-hmm. people still drew things. They were just stop storyboard type animation.
People still drew
things? Yeah, people still drew things before.
What does that
like,
mean?
Before,
people don't draw things nowadays?
Well, I mean, no, I just mean that they drew things, and it was very static. It was very much panel for panel, pain for pain. Mm-hmm. Those are comic books. Now, what a lot of people have recently started doing, I guess not recently, they've been doing it for a while, but they started assembling things into graphic novels, and graphic novels can either be sets of story arcs that tell one cohesive arc, you know, per book, or simple, simply put, it tells one big story. So 300, I believe 300 was released originally as a graphic novel, and then it was serialized, and then it was re-released as a graphic novel.
Really?
Watchmen was released as, I believe, a graphic novel, and then it was made in the movie and re-released as a big graphic novel, and then, like, even bigger graphic novels. But
yeah.
Things like Spider-Man are kind of very interesting. Like Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, all the comics that we kind of know. They're on like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of issues,
mm-hmm.
and they get different types of comics that come out, alter-versed versions,
like different
where
dimensions
Batman's now in the Wild West, and he doesn't have Batmobile. He's got, you know, a horse, and you know,
Bat-horse.
Batman in the future, Superman is a woman, and there's
Wonder Woman,
Superwoman. They've got the alter-verse, the gender bending, and all that. It's nothing is sacred in comics because you can always do something called retcon. You can always reverse the continuity. You can change what has happened.
Yeah.
So, and there's one big thing that did, I think, World War something or other that happened in the DC timeline, the DC set of comics. They got this big thing happened, and they were like, oh, and we reset it. I know in the X-Men timeline, there was something, the M event or whatever, something happened with Magneto where all these people died, and then, oh, they're all alive again.
And you're like, what the heck's going on?
We changed the fabric of reality because it's a comic book. You could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
The reason we bring this up is that comic books are kind of strange. Like, you think Batman, Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of, you know, ancillary characters. You've got, what was it, Tim or whatever, the guy that did Robin. You've got the Felicia, who's Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, all these people in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But typically when you think Batman, you think Bruce Wayne,
mm-hmm.
or Batman Beyond, who's like that new kid or whatever.
When you think Spider-Man, you think Peter Parker.
When you think of Spider-Man, you think Peter Parker. When you think X-Men, you think Professor Xavier. You think Storm, Cyclops,
Wolverine.
You know. But there are other people in that. But for Spider-Man, you know, typically Mary Jane,
mm-hmm.
What's her name? Can't remember her name. Gwen Stacy is another interest.
And then you think of, like, Dr. Octopus.
Dr. Octopus, yeah. Venom.
Green Goblin.
Right.
The movies, obviously, the Green Goblin and stuff like that. But.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, you know, we've given it its due time so people can catch up, so we're not spoiling it. But they did something really crazy, and they didn't retcon it. They effectively killed off Peter Parker,
mm-hmm.
Mentally at least. I mean, he's not a vegetable or anything crazy like that. Like, Dr. Octopus is now in Peter Parker, a.k.a. Spider-Man. Sorry if you didn't know that he was Spider-Man. If you're that far behind, I imagine you don't even have a radio. The radio does not have FM on it.
Hey, by the way, Dumbledore died.
No, so they killed off in December, in the 700th issue of Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, like not some of the Alterverse, you know, tangent comics. They killed off Peter Parker, and they transferred, essentially Dr. Octopus was transferred into Peter Parker's body. I'm not going to go into it. It doesn't really matter. It happened.
Yeah.
It happened. We moved on, but now Dr. Octopus is in Spider-Man's body, and he has vowed to do good, that he has the mind power and the will and the ambition to do good, and it completely allows Marvel and the current writers, whoever the writers are for Spider-Man, I don't know who they are right now, and they always switch anyway.
Yeah.
But whoever the writers are for the next few story arcs have a very interesting, not really even a dilemma, just a very interesting concept of now Spider-Man can do things he would have never, ever done. He can act differently. He can be different. He can.
Does he still have the whole octopus arms?
No. He's Spider-Man's body. Spider-Man.
That'd be kind of crazy though.
Physically, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Mentally though, he is Dr. Octopus. He is Xavier or Otto Octavius or whatever.
Yeah.
So what that means is that all of the dastardly things that Octopus has done, that Dr. Ock has done, those he may be sad and he may have, you know, asked forgiveness or whatever. And this could be his way to enact that,
mm-hmm.
but nonetheless, the world doesn't realize that Spider-Man is now this villain,
yeah.
who's turned good, who is also sort of bad by switching bodies.
Yeah, why did he switch bodies?
I think he was dying or something, and he switched, and he was like, "Sorry, but you know, I'm going to change this world for the better." And
I don't understand. So wait, what exactly happened to the whole did Peter Parker get switched into Dr. Octopus?
Yeah, as Dr. Octopus's body was like dying or something.
No.
Yeah. So something crazy happened. Again, like I haven't read all up to that point yet.
That's crazy.
I just know that happened. So
he kind of like Spider-Man lives on and Dr. Octopus no longer does almost.
Right,
except
but
at the
but
same
he does.
Time he does.
But he does mentally.
That is so weird.
And he's younger
such
and he's
a cool
got
way
he's got
that.
More power than everything. Yeah. And the writers really did a good job of tying it all together because it was like bittersweet. You're like Spider-Man's going to keep going. But is it really Spider-Man now?
Yeah.
And in the world of comics, again, I say they haven't retconned it. In the world of comics, there's always the ethereal plane. There's
mm-hmm.
some extra, you know, layer, especially when it's the Marvel universe. There's all of this extra consciousness where energy is just transferred, and they take it a very scientific, kind of science-y, faith-y way.
Yeah.
Where the energy and the consciousness is never destroyed, and it's still up there somewhere. So is he probably going to come back as Peter Parker? Yeah, once they've done really crazy things to mess up Spider-Man's reputation,
mm-hmm.
if you can say that. Spider-Man's always kind of had this
gray area
reputation where he's good and then he's bad and he's good again,
mm-hmm.
and especially after like Civil War where he like was a vigilante and then he was good and he wasn't good anymore. There was just all this stuff going on.
It makes you wonder if Doc Ock is actually going to keep his vow of doing good, or if he's gonna be like, you know what, I have all this power.
Right, and there's all of these other things to sway Dr. Octopus that Peter Parker dealt with and has continued to deal with over the entirety of all 700 issues. And that's mm-hmm. a long time.
That
I mean,
so
you think
issues.
About a typical comic book is, you know, 30 to 40 or 50 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just that's
times
just
that times 700.
Well, that's just the comic books that are named The Amazing Spider-Man, but his character existed in other comics.
Mm-hmm.
So there's way more content out there than just those 700 comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean 700 months. That's 50 years of
that's a lot
of, you know, it's so much. So that's anyway, we're talking about all of this
it's
just so we can
much.
Get around to it's really great whenever you have something that does not exist originally as comic to be then faithfully recreated in comic form.
Mm-hmm.
I feel they did this once with Firefly. Firefly was Joss Whedon's show after Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Dark Angel.
Mm-hmm.
It was about these renegades, these smugglers, essentially. Imagine like a crew full of Han Solo type people, like cool, really trendy, you know, they're very funny characters together that are they get stuck in a situation where I'm not gonna ruin Firefly. Firefly is an amazing show. Unfortunately, it got canceled.
Oh.
And then it
lack
got,
of Wookiees, I'm guessing.
No, it didn't have any Wookiees. But it got canceled, and then like no show really has ever done before, it got a multi-million-dollar movie, Serenity. And
interesting.
It never happened. Like that, the fans resurrected it. The fans brought it back. Joss Whedon, he's directed some small movies. I think the smallest one's like Avengers. So
so
maybe you've heard of him. Maybe not. If you haven't, it was only at a few film festivals. I think
totally.
Avengers. No,
you
I mean just
at your
just,
local,
just,
hipster.
You can go to your
hipster
little
gallery.
You can rent the movie maybe on free on Netflix. It's the one they give you to try out.
Like they may have it like a VHS copy of it at like a Goodwill or something.
A Betamax. They have Betamax. No, so at the Dollar General.
Dollar General.
The Big Lots. No, so Joss Whedon did that. And anyway, they made a comic book version of it. But just to kind of continue the story, because since everything was canceled,
mm-hmm.
they wanted to continue the story. So he funded it, and that's what happened. And it wasn't that great, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because I was really wanting more Firefly in a video form. With the actors and with mm-hmm. the voice and with the feel, and instead I've got the characters, but the characters and the actors they sold it together, the idea and the presentation, not just the idea in a different presentation.
Yeah.
However, we talked about Kickstarter last show. And we've always played Jonathan Colton. Mm-hmm. So music from Jonathan Colton.
Honestly, I think we talk about Kickstarter like every show almost. Honestly.
Only since I got that watch.
Yeah.
I didn't wear the watch. I didn't wear it today. No, I forgot. I took it off. I was doing some weed eating, and I took it off.
It is waterproof, though.
And it is waterproof. I don't know if it's weed proof. It probably... Ooh, I should watch how I say that. I don't know if it's marijuana proof.
I was like, no.
I was not eating weed. I was doing lawn care. I was caring for my lawn.
That's not why I made that face. I made that face because I was like, wait a second, you ruined it already?
No. It's good. It's fine. I haven't even scratched it, which is amazing. I usually scratch everything I own. But anyway, to get back to the topic, we were looking on Kickstarter. We're going to probably start doing this this week in Kickstarter. We might have a little segment for that or until things get old. But Jonathan Colton along with a guy named Pack, Takahashi Miyazawa, Greg Pak, excuse me, and I think Gina Colleen or whatever, they are bringing together. They've asked for money, and they've got the $40,000 that they asked for pledged. They got almost $162,000 with still like 20 days to go, funded to make a Code Monkey Save World comic series with I think the characters from Chiron Beta Prime, mm-hmm. Like the Robot Queen. You got Skull Crusher Mountain. You got the bad guy from Skull Crusher Mountain.
Yeah.
The Code Monkey from Code Monkey, and Miranda, which is actually like the secretary he's talking to in the song. Yeah, in Code Monkey. So they're making this really awesome. I mean, it's got some of the art from up on Kickstarter. So I heavily recommend, you know, Google Kickstarter space Code Monkey, and you'll see the cover, which is just simply amazing. Takahashi Miyazawa was in charge of doing a lot of art for some Marvel comics like Spider-Man, X-Men, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for $10 or $15, you can get the digital version of the comics whenever it comes out. And
that's so cool.
It's just going to be, I think it's going to be really cool. I'm looking at some of the art right now, and it's definitely got some, it's got some really good vibes to the art.
Yeah, I saw the name of it, Code Monkey Save World.
Code Monkey Save World, man. That's how, and I mean, it's, I don't know, I can't get over it. I'm gonna buy this as soon as I get back to a safe network, to my own, you know, thing. But it launched a couple days ago, April 15th, and in a month, so May 15th, it will be done funding, and they will deliver in May, or August, excuse me. They will deliver not only a digital book or a physical book, depending on what you order, but depending on the tier you order with, Jonathan Colton, who's on board with this. Like, he's on board completely.
Mm-hmm.
And he says so in the Kickstarter video. He's recreating an album or, I think, a soundtrack to the actual comic.
Really?
So it's actually really cool.
So you can read the comic while listening to the audio disc soundtrack.
It's fantastic. I can't explain how happy I am about this. So you got Greg Pak, who worked on Planet Hulk, Batman and Superman, and Magneto Testament, and then you've got Takahashi Miyazawa, who
he's like the awesome person on the team.
They've got a great team.
Colton himself or whatever.
Miyazawa, he actually animated, not anime, he I guess illustrated one of my favorite comic series, The Runaways.
Yeah.
And Runaways, excellent. So anyway, that's coming down the pipe. Go
awesome.
Ahead and back that. I'm certainly going to back that. And to showcase that, we're going to go ahead and play Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton right now.
Yeah.
Seems to fit rather well. I'm MG.
And I am Will, and this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU and Experience Points.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Thank you.
Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points, but not for much longer. I'm MG.
And I am Will.
So we're about out of time, and that's okay because, you know, it's been a pretty good night. We got a lot of stuff accomplished. And we were talking backstage, I guess back metaphorical stage, behind the microphones.
We're talking behind the mics.
We go outside. It's during the music. What we do? Well, we just go outside, but we don't smoke, so we just stand around aimlessly and just wait for the show to come back on. We listen to it on like our phones, and we're like, oh, we got 15 seconds. Quick, run back inside.
Quick, run.
We punch in the code, all incorrect and everything. So we talked earlier about, like, I made a Han Solo reference or whatever, and we were like, what do you expect out of the next Star Wars? And I don't know. I want, like, I want it to be cool. I don't want it to be Star Trek. I don't want it to be the new Star Trek just over again.
Have
you
seen there was a picture I saw of like the old, like it was a Star Wars and someone did like a face swap and Han Solo was Zac Efron, Luke was Justin Bieber, and what is her name? Selena Gomez was
Leia,
and I was like, oh
no,
my
no,
gosh.
I don't approve of this.
It was so funny.
That reminds me, there's a spot on Stargate SG-1 where they're all consulting for an episode of like this science fiction show that's supposed to be like a parody of Stargate SG-1. Like they're making jokes
really?
On themselves, yeah. And the director comes in and he goes, yeah, the guys want young, you know, they're throwing around the idea of young, edgier cast for you know, for the characters. Can you imagine that? And then they all kind of think like Cloud, and it's like this young, edgy, you know, like there's rock music and like punk music, and there's like everyone's making out with each other, and then like someone gets shot and is like, dude, you know that chick was totally an alien, and he's like, yeah, bro, but I'm still gonna tap that. And
oh my god,
it's just this crazy thing, and they like, all come back to reality, and they're like, no, absolutely not.
Makes me so
angry. I cannot approve of Zac Efron being Han Solo or anyone in Star Wars. Unless they have them lined up as prisoners and they throw them off Cloud City.
That would be...
If they throw them off Cloud City, I'd be happy.
They throw them into that little sand pit monster
you know what?
Thing.
What is it
called?
Snorlax.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That's what I want. I don't care. As long as... I could throw them into a giant R2-D2 pit where R2-D2 just runs over them. A bunch of times.
Continuously.
Just runs over them. On an episode of Parks and Recreation, Patton Oswalt actually stood up in front of a city council meeting and sequestered whatever it's called whenever you just talk a lot.
Filibustered.
Not sequestered.
Yeah, I've seen that.
He filibustered and he described off the top of his head the script for Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah.
And it was so great because he did this for like 25 minutes, just rambled on about the new series since they have Marvel and Disney and Star Wars, that J.J. Abrams can go crazy and just have an alternate universe where the Marvel future and the Star Wars are the same reality, and that all these things go crazy. There's actually, it's kind of funny, but the conspiracy machine goes insane online sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a little screenshot. You can find it if you Google like Star Wars Mickey Mouse, because in, episode five, there's a, The Empire Strikes Back at the end when like they're having the fight in Cloud City and like the cryo chamber or whatever. There's like, if you freeze frame it, there's a section, there's an arrangement of cylinders that look like Mickey Mouse's head.
Really?
Yeah, it's like in the shadow or whatever. So it's kind of cool that, you know, people are like, oh, wow, this has been in the making forever.
That's
and
so funny.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe not. But I know they do that sometimes, right?
Yeah, that reminded me of, like, the other day, I was just looking at, you know, it's fun just to look at random pictures on Imgur, like, hilarious pictures. Like,
no one does that. Who does that?
I saw a picture. It was so funny. Like, this isn't kind of related for a second, but it was, like, Jennifer Lawrence is really big on Imgur, and it was, like, someone photoshopped her playing basketball with a bunch of kids, but she was, like, 70 feet tall, and they're all really small and everything. It was just really funny looking, because it was just, like, Jennifer Lawrence out of all people. But anyways.
She's the one from, Hunger Games?
Yeah. And but anyways, I saw a picture and it was like, oh gosh, what is Disney gonna do with Star Wars? And it was a freeze frame from the 1980s Tron. I guess it was 1980s.
Like Tron 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was like the guy's on his either like light bike or it was like a ship or something. All I know is there's a beam of light behind him. I don't really know. I haven't seen the old one, so I don't really know how it is. I've seen the new one, so I mean if that counts for anything. But anyways, it's a freeze frame.
The original Tron's a little hard to watch sometimes.
And like it's like he's on a little like grid looking thing. But if you look at the grid, like at first I was like, I don't see the point of this. But then you look at it long enough, you're like, wait a second. Like it is. A perfect image of Mickey Mouse's head, like a silhouette of his head. It's not just like it's not a coincidence either, because like you can see like the tip of his nose.
Well, I mean,
Tron
was owned by Disney, like the whole thing. But like Star Wars at the time wasn't owned by Disney. But
and that's the thing is like they're like, what's gonna happen in the new Star Wars? Like, what are we gonna see? Like, is Mickey Mouse gonna walk across the background or something like that during a scene?
They should. You know what? They could throw a lot of it together. They could throw together Final Fantasy, because Kingdom Hearts. Connects Disney and Final Fantasy SquareSoft universes, and since they now own Marvel, Star Wars, Kingdom Hearts, All video games.
I can't even imagine.
Mortal Kombat, Star Wars 7.
All they need to own now is like a like Coca-Cola or something like that. So it's like...
They own Pixar, so there, Toy Story can
in
go
in.
In
the new Star Wars, they're playing Kingdom Hearts, drinking Coca-Cola while watching Toy Story. Like a,
maybe
like
The Incredibles
stupid.
Is really... They don't have powers, they have the Force.
Oh my
maybe
goodness.
That's what it is.
The Incredibles was a good movie.
I enjoyed it.
That was a great movie.
Before we go over time, let's go ahead and throw this last song in, and we're going to say goodnight. This is The Fall... the M83 remix by Daft Punk. This is actually, The Fall was on, it was on for the new Tron.
Really?
Yeah, so that's...
It's kind of in honor of Tron and in honor of Daft Punk's new single, Get Lucky.
Yeah, Get Lucky. I'm looking forward to that
Dude,
new album.
That album.
We got a couple...
Oh my goodness.
In fact, next show is going to be more Daft Punk themed than normal.
Sweet.
We've got a couple of remixes that we're going to be throwing in. Again, it's going to be like, why are they playing so much electronica music on the Geek Show? Because we want to. Just deal with that. This is The Fall... Hey. The M83 remix.
Actually, I have an idea. You should email us what song you want to hear by Daft Punk next week on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do have email.
MG@SELU.edu.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Or you can go to the Facebook page. That's fine, too. Facebook us and look for experience points.
That'd
and it's
awesome.
The Mario logo.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else has experience points on Facebook, so.
Nope.
Anyway, this is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Will. This is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.